You just tuned in to the Flamingos podcast and this is our last day.
اهلا اهلا اهلا.
وما مثل مثل ما بيقولوها ختامها مسك.
طبعا 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 طبعا.
We have here with us, and before we introduce ourselves as well, one of the bro, how can I put this together? All right, let me listen. Let me do this a freestyle. You know what?
Okay, don't exaggerate. Don't exaggerate.
Bro, let me do it. Let me do it.
Once it's all bad, let him.
I have here with us one of the guys that I grew up watching while I was sneaking in every nightclub, every nightlife place when I was under. Age to a
certain
extent. Okay, sneaking. I'm 29 now. I don't care. You know, one of the DJs that I've seen him on set, you know, sweating like it's a sport, you know, taking over these nights in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, ladies and gentlemen, and then you've seen him somewhere on Netflix, heard his music as well.
Yep.
You've seen on Disney Plus.
Yep.
You know, heard stuff on
Talking
Spotify.
Marvel.
Marvel.
That's all we can say.
DJ Kaboom, ladies and gentlemen.
The one and only.
Good everyone. I appreciate it.
Yo, and this is Yad.
Ganzi on the mic.
Hello.
Yeah.
Shabab,
all good. All good. Kaboom, how you doing?
I'm good, alhamdulillah, as you can see. I'm happy to be with you guys, repping the city from day one.
Appreciate it.
Listen, it's daily basis we do that, even with that intro that I gave.
Okay, I see.
There are still people, you know, out there. You would give them a small intro about who DJ Kaboom is.
Well, simply...
Other than all of shit, can you speak out of this?
I will make it short and sweet. Simply, I'm a guy right now who's digging into the Arabic music to make it back to life, to make it kind of worldwide, how the Latin music became very, like,
true
to everyone, very familiar, how the Afrobeats became very familiar.
International.
I believe it's our time as a Middle Eastern, as Arabs. It's our time. We have the World Cup in Qatar. We have Dubai is the hub for the entertainment right now. So all eyes are in the Middle East, let's say that. So it's us as an artist right now. It's my turn to bring my music to the world. So that's what I'm going to
carry the torch, you know, and just cut us.
Be us. Be original. Let's try to be us. We've been imitating a lot of people and it's our time right now to be us.
That's great.
And okay, so I wanted to like rewind it back in time a little bit.
Not there.
I gave you a heads up, but I'm not telling you. But can you give us a bit of an idea or how you started? What inspired you to start
as a DJ?
DJ and about your background about.
So literally, when I was young, I have one of my good friends that was with me in a school. His brother was a DJ.
Mm.
And whenever I used to go to his house, we were at that time, like, let's say 10 years old or 11. Yeah. I see his brother, that time he has like turntables and he's like into it and he's like all the time practicing and he's like kind of.
I'm sorry, at what age was that?
I was like almost 11.
Oh, wow.
11 and 12. Wow. Yeah. So whenever I go to his house, I see his brother doing his thing. He used to look really cool. That was in the 90s.
Mm.
So that really made me inspired to, like, you know what, I want to be like your brother, you know. And actually his brother, his name is Ahmed Khalil, like, is one of the OGs, and I told him, listen, I'm into this and I really want to learn, and this is where it came from, and he started to teach me how to be.
Okay, from that time till now, and the progress that we have witnessed, and you showcase your music to the world, and you took it internationally, you even invented, or let's say you named it the Arab trap music, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the Arab trap and what is the name? Is it a genre? Is it the...
So I'm happy that you said that. It's actually, as you said, invented. It became actually a genre. Like, if you go to Spotify right now and you search, there is an Arab trap. And it's being called after my music, especially.
Yes.
So first of all, I'm very honored to live in such country where I started in Abu Dhabi and then right now I moved to Dubai. This has made me to create my own music in a way that, you know how Dubai and Abu Dhabi is very international.
Yeah.
Like, we, as you like, kind of witness all type of artists come every week.
Yeah.
And this is kind of inspire me as a DJ. When I see all the international DJs, it kind of gave me a hint. It's like, how to be one of those kind of guys that to be a unique. Mm-hmm. So all the international DJs that I was DJing along, most of them, they have like their own type of music.
Yes.
So that's what made them very special. So I said, you know what? In order for me to be special, I need to come up with something. Like, I don't want to play music for other musicians all the time and stuff like this. This will never make me unique. It will make me normal, let's say.
Definitely.
That. You know, yeah, you can be a really good DJ, but I want to take it further. And this is what made me kind of to dig deep into my roots and see what can I, how can I merge our roots to the people who's dancing in front of me. Because, you know, as I say, you go to a club, especially, let's say, from 2010 to like 2015, Arabic music in that time is like, it's all about like the Nancy Ardum, Amri Diab, which is, if you listen to hip hop, you don't want to listen to this type of genre of music.
So you can't even dance to them.
Exactly. Like if I play any of Nancy Ardum in my set back in days, that people will look and think, "What you're doing? No, that does not suit." So I was like, "How can I bring my music?" Exactly. And this is where I came with the Arab trap, which is, there are legendary people who did it before me, but in a way that suits them. Let's say Timbaland, for example.
Yeah.
Timbaland, he did the Khusara Khusara Abdel Halim Hafiz.
Yeah, he sampled that song.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody was wild. I was like, you know what? Let me put my touch and see what can I do with it.
I am from there. I have the heritage.
You know what?
I have the music.
And this is where I came up with the Arab trap made in Egypt. Because a lot of people didn't know that Jay-Z's song is actually, it's an Egyptian song. Yeah. That's why I call it made in Egypt. And in 2017, I put it out and actually I started to play it within my set. And this is where people were like, oh, we like the melody and the beat is hard as well, so it kind of clicked and I took it from there.
Wow,
that's amazing.
And
that's awesome.
And for you as a star, so you moved to Abu Dhabi at what age?
I moved to Abu Dhabi, I was 22 years old.
Now, and that was what year?
2009.
Take us through how you've seen that, you know, that industry, you know, that especially the DJ industry, it was different. Especially DJs nowadays are not like how it was before. Take us through, because in 2009, that's when
hey,
that was back in the days.
It was way different. To be honest, it was still a really good time, but it was Dubai more famous than Abu Dhabi.
Exactly.
So everybody want to go out, they go
on
to Dubai.
On a weekend, Dubai, all right.
Exactly. What was missing in Abu Dhabi is that, you know, to have your gang or your people who can really, like, you know, hang out with you. Let's say there was a lot of DJs back in the days, but most of them are Western DJs. They were clicking together. But, you know, I come from Egypt. Yeah. Like, when I came over here, I remember I came to know Freak, I came to know Omar Tartoub, and I was like, you know what, guys, that time I came from Egypt and I was a DJ in Egypt and everybody knows me. I said, I was like, guys, let's create our own party.
Yeah.
I told him that straight away. And I remember I brought Omar Tartoub on board. He was filming that time.
Nice.
That was back in days.
Nice.
And we started to click like all kind of, let's say, Arab gang together. We had a place called Persian Caviar.
Yeah.
And we made it a vibe, man. For a few years in Abu Dhabi back in days, everybody used to go over there. People used to come from Dubai even for the vibe, you know? And this is where it's really kind of Abu Dhabi, I felt it became kind of more alive.
Yeah.
And yeah, we took it from there.
And how do you see it moving from 2009 to 2003? As an overall.
No, it is, as you can see right now, Abu Dhabi, you see us right now in Brid Abu Dhabi.
Exactly.
Something that nobody could dream of. You got my point? This is really
something we've been waiting for.
I love to see local talents like you guys doing such a podcast, for example. That's amazing. You got my point. And I love how they put most of the local artists and local talent and regional talent in here.
Yeah.
This is what we've been looking for.
True.
So definitely it's a huge improvement for Abu Dhabi. And
we are huge believers in that. And we've been talking about this in the podcast, that maybe in 3-4 years from now, our region will be what we call global. You know,
because Mohammed bin Salman from Saudi, he said it in one of his interviews. He said, "Middle East is the new Europe."
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it is the new thing.
It is the new, like,
exactly.
Like, yeah, the new Europe and the new US. Like, everybody is looking to that region right now.
True.
A fight.
Because if we also, and if I can give an example, we have seen now, for example, Omar Sleiman. His music although for us, I'm Syrian, right? And I understand what type of this music is. It's kind of the Bedouin,
yeah.
the, you know, the sound that
bit,
is in Syria.
Yeah.
And Levant.
Yeah.
It surprised me when I saw him in what? In a Louis Vuitton, you
Derby,
know, in shows, in Balenciaga show, you know. I was like, whoa. And they, what? You know what? They consider it as rave.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
There is something that is happening all over the world, not
yeah.
only in the Middle East.
Yeah.
The Gen Z. Mm. And the Zalfa, the new generation.
Oh, they call it Zalfa?
They call it Zalfa. That's after Gen Z.
What?
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard it.
If I'm not mistaken, I think, yeah, they call it Zalfa.
That's great. That's learning.
I think so. You know what's good about this upcoming generation, which is all of them, they like to listen more to the local music. Let me tell you an example, me as a DJ.
Yeah.
I used to go to France from, like, say, 2014 up to like before Corona, for example. When I started to go to France, I used to play the international music, the international hip-hop music or urban music. And then every year, instead of my set used to be 100% international, every year is like, oh, it becomes 80% international, 20% French. Year after, 40% French, 60% international. The year after becomes like 80% French music when you play in France to 20% international. Right now, when you go to France, you only hear the French rap, French Afrobeats. The same in the UK. They like to listen to UK, not to the US rap no more.
Yeah.
The same in Germany.
True.
The same in Egypt right now. They love to listen to
the hip-hop scene over there.
Exactly.
It's taking over.
The same here. People like to listen to Freak or...
Exactly. Or they even listen to the original artists.
It's everywhere right now. The local scene is taking over, which is that's amazing.
That's something that we've always wanted also to happen. You know?
It is happening because they are giving you the same kind of what you listen internationally, but locally. You understand the language, understand the vibe, and they are creating unique sounds to
a fusion of ours and maybe
exactly.
what's international
exactly.
out there.
Exactly.
Because honestly, I've attended one of your sets last year, and then you were there and you were playing. You were playing Wigs, you were playing Afroto, you were playing Freak, you were playing, you know, all of these from our region. And I sat down, I was like, yo, yes, this is what we need because...
There's not enough of that.
I don't want to go to events and always hear, you know, low. I don't want to go and listen to T-Pain everywhere that I go. It's going to be playing T-Pain every event. No, you're bringing something different that I liked at that time. I was like, okay, more of this, please. More of this, you know? And that's why, shout out to you, because I believe a lot of DJs think that, okay, they're taking a huge risk when they do that, that they might lose audience, they might lose, you know, all of that. But no, I believe, and that's me personally, as a DJ, your set as well is something to introduce people to new things, make them have new favorites, you know? That's where I see there's a lot that they shy away from this, you know? But yo, shout out to you for that.
That's part of the things that I wanted to know about is that there's like this thin line between what people want and what you want to introduce to people. So, and I feel like it's kind of a hard line to balance because at some aspects it's like you're afraid of losing the crowd and at some aspects you don't want to be a slave to what they listen to.
No, I'll give you an example like what you said exactly. It's completely as you said, it's a risk. You got my point. When I decided to dig deep into my music and play more of my music during my set, definitely the people, especially the club manager, whatever, they are expecting me to play the famous songs, you know? And then when I go to them, my style, they'll be like, this is Arabic, you know, we normally don't play like Arabic. So I started to take the risk, like, say, before when I started to DJ in Abu Dhabi or even when I moved to Dubai, I used to DJ 7 nights a week. But when I took the risk, there are a few clubs like Kabu, we don't click with this genre that you play, so we cannot no longer. So I took the risk, like, you know what? I believe in my music, and I'll take. So instead of me DJing 7 nights, I started to DJ 3 nights, for example. But I started to have a big concerts right now, which has made me make more money. Then I got people, they start to know my sound. So people, they want, when they hire Kabu as a DJ or in any festival or any concert, they want to listen to my music. And this is what me aiming for. I took the risk, but it was worth it.
That's dope.
And sorry, Kacha, but I'm always curious about this one thing. I mean, as a performer or as a DJ, that's, I want to ask kind of a personal part of the experience thing is, how do you, like, first of all, have you, because the career is kind of, or the night is kind of ups and downs.
Yeah.
So have you ever bombed in that growth experience? And if you did, how did you recover from it? Or how do you recover from, I feel like I'm losing the crowd.
There was always like a belief in you as a person, you get my point? Like, for example, Corona came. It was the worst time for DJs.
Yeah.
Like, we were at home.
Literally. No more nightlife.
And there were people changed career, people. But nowadays, I think it's about the believer. You know, you believe in something. It's the same when I created my music. I created my music way before Marvel, like, discovered it, for example. You got my point? Like, my music was there from 2018. Marvel showed it on 2020.
Yeah.
22, sorry. Yeah. So that's a belief. Mm. You get my point? So I just believe in what I'm doing, and I accept the ups and downs. Mm. Yeah. So kind of alhamdulillah, and I'm satisfied. I'm thankful for that.
And this will lead to my next question regarding Marvel. How did Marvel approach you, and how did they find this old track that they?
Did you sign an NDA for that or not? Before?
I'll say the story, but it was really actually a funny story. Uh-huh. I remember that there is one night I was DJing, and then I was coming back home, it was 3 a.m. I checked my phone, I received an email that says, "Hi, we are this agency," which is, I forget the name of the agency, that it's handling Marvel's music.
All right.
"And we are interested into your music to be featured in our new series, Marvel series." I looked at the email, I thought it's a scam.
Of course, 100%.
It was 3 a.m.
Junk box.
It was 3 a.m. I'm tired. I just want to go back home and sleep. I ignored. And then after like 24 hours, they sent like, "Hi, kindly, it's a reminder. We would like to know if we would like to be part of the new series, your music." I was like, you know what? But I replied, and then literally after 1 hour, they replied back with a contract.
They were eagerly waiting.
Asking me about if I have the rights of the songs and stuff like this.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. Then I have...
That's legit.
It looks like legit to me. So I contacted my artist manager. She's in Egypt. Shout out Dalia. I tell her she's well experienced. I tell her, listen, Dalia, this is the email. Check it out and let me know. I told her to just go ahead and reply them. And she did reply, and then they came back, and then they proceed with the steps. But they were it was very confidential.
Okay.
That I couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know which track yet they wanted from me.
Oh.
It was the initial steps.
And you could not open that with anyone yet because it's confidential to double check.
I need to sign with them a contract first, then they can tell me what it is.
Wow.
And they didn't even tell me when it is, what it is. I signed the contract, it's very confidential. And then six days before the series comes out on Marvel, I came to know that everything is confirmed, everything is done, and that's how Marvel very suspicious about their thing.
Wow.
Like, and apparently, so what I came to know after from the producer and the director of Moon Knight from Marvel, that they choose my songs 2 years before they told me.
Oh,
like
wow.
they built the series.
Yay.
And they built everything on my song two years before I even get it. Yeah. That was like, wow.
SubhanAllah.
The main reason why I ask you this question, because this story that you are telling is inspiring for upcoming DJs and then the next generation, right?
Music producers,
producers and everybody. How did they came to know you? How did you expose your music like 10 years ago? How did they find it?
So, as you know, the Moon Knight by Marvel, it's an Egyptian comic, god and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So the director is Egyptian, and his wife Sarah Gohar, she's Egyptian, and his wife is responsible for the music of the show.
All right.
And she told me that she found my music on Spotify.
Nice.
That's how. And she heard one track, she told me I fall in love because this is mixed the authentic with a new fresh element that we need.
Yeah.
So it's like the new generation cannot listen to Umm Kulthum or Abd al Halim the way that it is.
Yeah.
So I give it that touch, it's kind of a modern, so you can accept the beat. She told me I heard it and I was like fascinated by that. And she chose it. This is the one. She showed this to the CEO of Marvel and he loved it apparently. And this was the first time ever for Marvel to put their logo, their animated logo, into an Arabic song ever in history.
And so, and there was, well, sorry to cut you there, but was there any rights clearance that you had to do for sampling?
Yes, definitely. It was by Manzika Group in Egypt. It's one of the biggest library for the old music. So.
Was it difficult to?
Were very cooperative, to be honest. It was really, everything was so easy, was smooth.
Eventually, you know, the artists, you know, you never know, later stage, all of them, you know, because especially in our region, that type of knowledge or education, it's still getting there, you know. It depends on every person if he does his own research. And look at you, mashallah, you know, you look like a person who did everything. But there's plenty out there would also like, you know, to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Moving on. Red event, you know, first time happening in the Abu Dhabi. We've seen events happening in Dubai. What do you think of this as, you know, an event for the culture, for the creatives, for, you know, for the music producers, for the DJs, for the artists themselves, you know, everybody? Give us your thoughts on this happening for the first time.
I'm really, as I said in the beginning of the podcast, I'm happy to see all the local talents, whether you're a presenter, podcast presenter, artist, producer, musician, everyone. And I can connect with Kenzie right now as an OG, like from back in the days. This is didn't happen since long time. You know, I'm happy to see that.
He's always behind the computer, by the way.
So to have an event to connect all the people together, that can put out a lot of work later on. You got my point. I'm happy to see all the record labels, the local record labels, and there are a lot of things that I didn't see or we did not connect. So to have something like this and connecting all the people at one place, that's amazing. So shout out for Bread Abu Dhabi big time, bringing all these talents. I hear a lot of new different music, the new generation right now coming to know everyone. You're connecting the old generation with the new generation, so that's amazing.
That is great. And there's as well a ripple effect of this on the culture itself over here. There's also today final performances. Oh, well, you have a question?
Because right now we talked about how different it was back then and the experiences and everything. Do you have any advice that you'd give to up and coming DJs, people who are starting this that want to grow and develop? And
you know, to be honest, like, people been doing all the advices all the time, you know, even my ex-friends, whatever, giving me advice.
Yeah.
I feel it comes naturally. I cannot tell you what to do. Yeah. You know, no matter how many times I'm going to advise you, it comes from you. God put things in you that it brings whatever you believe, whatever you want to. But all I can say, there is one thing that I noticed, but when I was like 23 years old, or right now I'm 38, when I was like 23, I was so happy to be opening artists or for Rick Ross, for Justin Timberland, for Shaggy, I was really happy. But right now, I recognize, you know what, it was a good time, but now I want to be the artist. So one thing I want to encourage the new generation, don't fall into the trap of just, you know, being a follower to someone. Yes, it will make you happy, but try to work on yourself from day one.
Okay.
Yeah. Play the game to change the game. Let's say that. So try to focus on yourself. Yeah. Build your own thing, but try to focus from yourself early.
Own journey, for example.
Exactly.
Everybody has that.
Exactly. And I actually see that in the new generation right now. You have older, like, let's say from Egypt, Afroto is like 23 years old, 24. His name is Wap. Yeah. Marwan Pablo, Wiggs.
Charting, you know, charting everywhere. Yeah.
So the new DJs, focus on yourself a lot. That's all I'm going to say.
And one thing that every guest that we get over here, they mention consistency. And for you, and that's something that I can see.
Yeah.
Consistency throughout big all time. Of those years, you know.
Big time.
Yajibal Mehiz Zakri, out of it. So keep going, you know. Shout out to you, man. Thank you very much for coming through. For real. It's
really
a pleasure. This is everything for us for today. Shout out to everybody that been tuning in here with us. Shout out for DJ Kabu as well for coming, pulling up and sitting down here with us. This is everything from the final day. This is Yab.
Kenzie on the mic.
And Awab.
Kabu.
Peace.
Peace, guys.